This is CliffCentral.com.
And all I have is wild, 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 baby, damn, Rihanna. It is your host, Candace Mama, and you are listening to the Weekly Mashup. And today, Tamisha might be joining us a bit later, but we are joined by one of my favorite human beings on planet Earth, Simpiwe Mthethwa. Hey, girl.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm good, and you, how are you?
I'm good. You are looking good today.
Thank you.
You are looking mighty dateable.
Yes. you know, it's a Thursday, and I knew that I was going to see my girl Candace, and
yes,
Candace always
girl.
Brings it. So I just decided to just show the curves off.
You know what? You always got to be ready, right?
I try.
You always. The thing is, like, I always leave the house with the intention to meet someone. So I'm like, you know, if today's the day I'm going to meet my dream man, I don't need me looking all scattered and, you know.
No, he must love me for me,
no,
child.
Girl.
If he sees me all looking crusty with my... Okay, I always have a dog. So if I'm looking crusty, he needs to see beyond that and be like,
no,
damn.
Friend, no. Can I tell you a story, though?
Yes.
So last week I was in Cape Town, right?
Yes.
So I flew back on the Thursday evening. And I was like tired. I was just not feeling myself, you know. You know, like after like you've had a long trip and you just want to get home. So I had the late flight. So I was waiting at the airport for like 3 hours. So I was just like, I was over it, right? So by the time I board, I see this team. Like, you know, when you're lining up to go and get your things checked. So I'm like, I see the soccer team. So I'm like, fuck, they're going to be loud as hell on this plane. I can't handle it. So then the one guy tries to hit on me and I'm like, soccer players, no, thank you. fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, I'm an idiot.
Girl, why are you saying, you know, you could be on Disky Divas now, you know?
I tried it once and the nigga almost ran me off the road. So anyway, traumatized, trauma baby. So... So anyway, so I'm like, okay, so this guy's trying to hit on me and I'm just not having it. I'm like, dude, you're a nice dude, but I just, you know, me and you know. And he's like, but why you gotta be like that? Can we swap, you know, because I was sitting next to a kid. So he's like, can I swap seats with the kid? I'm like, no. So anyway,
that's harsh.
No, girl, I just couldn't have it for 2 hours. Hi, and you're trying to make on me for the whole 2 hour flight. And then all your friends in the squad are like, yes, Bobby, yes. So, right, I couldn't have that. So then what I decided to do was, I bombed him. Now it's time to disembark, right? And then I saw one of the soccer players I actually knew. So he greets me on the plane and whatever. He's like, we'll talk after. I'm like, no, we won't. But hi. I just wasn't having it. It wasn't my day. So we disembark. And I'm walking and I'm like, yes, I need to get my suitcase. But you know those damn lines? You like, your suitcase could be the last one.
And now you're waiting there.
Yes. And now you've got time. Now you marched off the plane. Now you look like an idiot. So now I'm waiting at the conveyor belt. And I see the squad of soccer players. So I'm like, ah, at least they far, I'm good. I see my suitcase coming around. I'm like, I'll just wait. Then as I'm lifting my suitcase, this hot, like, girl, ha, 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 ha,
willing to risk it all, hot brother.
Hot. This hot dude helps me take my suitcase off. And he was hot. And then I see he's wearing uniform and I'm like, fuck. Damn you, life. Damn you. I was humbled so quick. So I take my suitcase, I smile, and I leave. I smile, and I look back, and he's still staring. So now I know he's staring either because he's like that crazy biatch. Like, she didn't even say thank you. She was just like, grab my suitcase, and I'm out. And then I decided, you know what? Screw this. And then found each other on Instagram.
Oh
yeah. And I found out that he wasn't a player. He was a coach. So I was like, yeah. Jesus, yes!
You should have said thank you.
No, he's hot. So then anyway, so
did you see him?
We did DM. But you know what's funny? I was just like thinking to myself, you know, had I not been looking all cute and ish, he would have never even found me on the DMs. Thank you, Lord, that I wasn't that tired to be wearing my pajamas at the airport.
No, you know what it was? It was you not giving brother man soccer player some time. Because had you given him attention...
You think?
Yes, because then you would have been talking.
Girl, but
to him.
I was looking crusty, you wouldn't even have cared.
No, but all I'm saying is that because you didn't give the one brother an opportunity,
it was like yes, yeah.
The other, the coach was like, okay, she clearly don't want to do the players.
Yes,
I can come in and coach her, you know, because that's what I do.
I can do the damn thing. Yeah, but he's cute. He's girl. He's hot. Damn. I was even like, wow, what a wow. I was so flattered. Like, you know, like when you shouldn't show a guy that you're so damn flattered. But I couldn't help it. I was just beside myself. I was like, wow. my birthday is tomorrow and Jesus already giving me things. Okay, so that's my one thing. So that's my one thing that I apply so that I can try and be dateable. What do you do? What do you do to try and get a man?
I don't even know, hey? I think smile. Like, I always smile and be like, hey. I'm like,
hey.
Okay, no. I think I really don't know. No, I'm a very hands-on person. So, like,
girl.
So, yeah, I'm the type of chick. If I'm really into you, best believe I'm going to touch your shoulders. I'm going to be touching your hair. I'm going to be touching your back. Like, I'm going to be laughing and then, like, bumping you. I'm going to be like,
accidental bump. Nod, nod. Yay! Wink, wink.
Yeah.
And does that work for you? May I ask, does that work for you?
Yes, it does. Okay. Yeah, because I've been told that I'm a bit of a flirt.
You are a bit of a flirt.
I don't think that's true.
No, I know I'm a flirt. That's the difference. I can own my flirtatiousness. No. You downplay it, which makes you more dangerous for the rest of us out here.
I don't know what you're talking about, Candace. I really don't know what you're talking about. I'm a very nice person. I'm sweet.
No, you're great. You're great. That's not the question. The question is...
The question is, would you introduce me to your man?
Wow. You know what?
The mere fact that you have to think about it.
No, no, no. Can I tell you something? No. No. Let me tell you something. Okay. No. It's not just you, right? It's everyone. So for me, like, every time I'm in a relationship, I need to know where this relationship is going before I introduce him to anybody. Like, I don't need him, like, looking side eyes at my friend. And then, like, I'm looking at my friend side eyed, like, I see y'all. Like, what y'all think y'all doing? No. So, like, I don't introduce. But then again, I'm also private because I don't want to be one of those people who are like, this is my man. Bye. Everybody's like, yeah. Bye.
And then, like,
two weeks later, Candace, where's Bob? I really like Bob, too.
Bob is but gone. Now there's a Billy.
No, you're getting your bees confused. This is Billy. That was Bob. Past and present.
Oh my God. You bad.
No, but you know what? I date a lot. And the reason is, I feel like I'm not going to be young for a lot longer. So I'm 26 now. And I've been 26 for a whole, like, 3 days. But I'm feeling it in my soul. And, like, so I feel like I've got a good 3 years before people start judging my dating ways.
Okay.
So, but then again, like, I also get bored really quickly. So that's my problem. Like, I don't like guys who give themselves over on a silver platter.
Okay.
Do you like a guy who's just, like, all up there? Like,
no. No. I think I'm
balance, baby. Balance.
Like, I'm like you. I get bored very easily. But that's the thing. This is why I don't just hop into relationships. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to work for me, Shame. Yeah. Like, I'm going to meet you
work,
today.
Work. Yeah.
You're going to meet me today. We're going to talk for the next 6 months.
And damn, then, girl.
Yes.
That's like half a year.
Yeah, worth the wait, child.
Okay, no, me, I'm like, you'll work for a month.
I'm worth the wait. I'm worth all the time and effort.
Yes, girl.
Yeah, and I want to get to know you. I want to know if you're over your ex, if you're crazy as hell, if you are,
you know,
not romantic.
There's so many ways to know if a guy's not over their ex. If they randomly bring up their ex in conversations that have nothing to do with their ex. So, let me tell you. So, there was this guy, right? And then, like, I didn't know we were on dating vibes. I thought we were on friend vibes. So, he was, like, sitting there. And, like, we were just chatting general conversation. Like, you know, oh, my passion is running. My passion is this. And then he'd be like, you know what? Like, this crazy chick I dated, hey, like, she was nuts. Like, she would run all the time. Like, I didn't understand where she was running. I'm like, okay. And then it starts being like, you know, what do you think? As a woman, I just want to know your standpoint on this. Hey, bun. Okay. And then you start giving advice. Next thing you know, now your conversation goes from, like, 40% general to, like, 60% about the ex.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start posting, like, you know, it's bad when a nigga starts posting, like, quotes. Like, like, you know, do you think there's, you know, do you think there's room in the world for two? Like,
No.
If it was wrong timing and
No.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
No. That's where I'm at. I'm like, room for who?
But that's why they're like, say things like, right girl, wrong time. There's no such thing. I hate to break to y'all out there, But if someone's breaking up with you and they're like, you know, you're the right person, wrong time, they're lying.
What?
You'll never let a diamond go. Like, go, okay, you tell me something. No. You find a diamond. Are you just going to let it go?
But if I'm not ready for that diamond, it's just like someone who gets R1 million today but doesn't know how to handle it. In 3 months' time, it's going to be gone and then they're going to be broke
again. Like lottery winners.
Yeah, they're going to be... So I think it's that same thing that sometimes you have such a good woman that you know that you're a bad guy and you, all you're going to do is break her heart. So you might as well leave things now until you've matured to be like, I'm leaving my old ways and I'm ready to settle down and, you know, be with you 100%.
But have you, no, but like, okay, so what do you tell a guy? If you're breaking up with him, what do you normally tell him not to hurt his feelings? Because all of us have our go-to.
It's not me, it's you. No, I'm getting it wrong. It's not you, it's me.
I'm like, you cold. You tell him straight up. It's not me, it's you.
I'm a very sweet person, you know. I don't believe in like breaking up with someone over like WhatsApp and social media.
Do people break up any other way these days?
All right, guys, no, that's wrong. I don't think it's right. So I'd rather
it's
call
not right,
you.
Right, but I mean...
No, I'd rather call you or send you like or a meetup. Let's do drinks. It's on. Yeah, best believe if I do pay for the date...
Oh, you pay for the date?
Like, when I break up with you, it's done. Like, I don't even want you ever in my life ever again.
Wow.
It's that deep. So I'm the type of person, let's meet, let's talk. How you doing? I'm good and you. Cool. And then be like, you know what?
Okay, so.
I feel that you and I are not compatible. You know? And depending on how he takes it, I can go into reasons and be like, so, the reason why I think we're not compatible is... A, B, C, D, E. Do you want me to carry on? No, you don't. Because I could do this the whole day. You know, we could be friends, though. You know, that's if I'm really, really over you.
Okay, okay.
When I offer the leave of friendship, just know that, yeah.
Okay, I'm but done. Do you stay friends with your exes?
No. No, I don't. But I've bumped into, like, one or two. The past couple of months or whatever.
Months, geez.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's like good vibes. You're like, hey, I'm gonna
it's so
see
good
you
to see you.
Yes, what are you doing? Oh, I'm doing this. Oh, cool. And then we always like exchange numbers again, but we don't talk. So it's like...
Because like it's like, who starts the conversation again?
It's not me. Best believe I'm the one that got away, child. So you gonna be the one starting the conversation. Yes!
But you never feel guilty. Do you never, like, if you're the one that broke up with someone, because you just, like, you know, sometimes, like, you in, okay, maybe this is just me, but you wake up in a relationship, you're not actually sure, like, how you ended up there, and now it's time to break up, and you don't even know how to break up since you didn't even know you were in it.
Those implied relationships, I hate them.
So, like, do you ever feel guilty about that? For me, I always feel guilty.
Yeah, you see, in those situations, what I do is just ignore you. I don't reply to your messages. I don't talk.
You ghost.
Like, I just... Because what am I going to say to you? It's over? How? When did you ask me out? I don't want those awkward
And then it's
vibes.
Almost like you jumping the gun.
Yes, and now I'm the one who has to deal with emotions because he's going to be like, no, but we're friends. Ah, friends. What have we been doing the past couple of months? That's not what friends do.
But no, but I find that there's this new term, right? And I want us to discuss it very quickly before we get into our awesome guest because we have an art show today. But I want us to discuss this quickly. The term situationship.
Yes! I read about that.
So tell our listeners what you read about situationships. What are they?
So I read it in Lerato Shabalala's book, The Way I See It.
Yes.
That was the first time I actually got...
A situationship.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And from what I understood is when you... I'm going to put this in a... if you as a female have a guy friend.
Yes.
And you guys have been like flirting and you're flirting, maybe friends with benefits type of vibes, but you guys are not dating.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so you're kind of in a relationship, but you're not in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So it's a situation.
But like both of you know y'all are doing couple things.
Yeah. So you guys.
But no one wants to actually put a label on it.
Yes.
Right?
So if you get invited to the movies, he's your plus one.
Yes.
If he gets
it's
invited
implied.
To.
Yes.
To a wedding, then
you're
his,
the plus one.
Yes, and
but when it's time to introduce you, friend. You just
so
you just in
like,
peewee.
No, so this is what you got. You'll be like, oh hi guys, this is Bob, and he's my friend. And then afterwards, vice versa.
Yes.
Bob's out with his friends. This is Simpiwe. And she's my friend.
You know when it gets complicated?
Ooh, child.
When one of y'all wants space or separation now, because you can't really break up from a situationship since you're not in a relationship.
Or one of y'all now, catches feelings.
Someone always catches feelings. Always. Like, there's no such thing as you don't catch feelings in those situations. But not only is someone going to catch feelings, then the problem is, like, when it's time for separation, like you just bring around a new guy and you're like, this is my new boyfriend, Bob.
How? But what about me? What were we doing this whole time?
But we were in a situation.
You see, but yeah, I think the biggest problem is people don't talk to their situation.
Mm-hmm. Because you're scared. As soon as you mention like what exactly it is.
Yeah.
Then it's like, well, why are you asking so much of me?
You see, I'm the type of person, if we're just kicking it, let me know that we're just kicking it. Like,
right.
So I can be mentally and physically and spiritually mature for this kicking it. You know what I mean?
So that when it's time to be kicked out, I know.
Yeah, I'll be like, oh, don't help me. I'll get my own boxes, child. I was ready for this situation. You know? But if you don't tell me now, we're catching feelings now. I need to be listening to Adele, Hello from the Other Side, even though you're just a friend. And
there's a song that you guys need to listen to. It's called I Just by Sal Houdini and Rihanna. And basically, Rihanna says to him in the whole song, she's just like, I just, you know, don't have time for a steady relationship or to entertain a text or any. And this guy is begging for love. He's like, please just love me. Just love me. But at the end of the song, this guy gives up. He's like, you know what, Tesh, I'll still sleep on park benches for you, Shem. Mara, I will wait. And Rihanna's like, but don't. That's what I'm saying. But don't. Okay, let's go into a song quickly. And then we are going to have our incredible guests joining us. Yes. So T decided to join us, eh?
Oh man, I just thank God that
welcome.
I made it today. You know, it was quite a journey coming out from Pretoria today. You know, I think they should change legislation. People who have bumper bashes on the road, they don't get out the way, they should get a big fine. Because they're stopping business.
But I thought like it's just like you just get used to it. I mean, coming from Pretoria anyway, you need to know that there's gonna be someone bumping someone.
Why does it have to be every day, Mara?
It's every day, though. Like, people in Pretoria are unhappy.
But thanks for holding the fort. You did a good job. I heard all about your soccer players and your coaches.
Oh, of course. When I like sharing. What can I say?
Yeah, I know.
We do what we can
whoever,
while we're young.
Whoever bewitched you with that is long dead. That witch doctor of love and relationship. Hot guys. But I'm very excited, guys, because I want to get right into it. We've got the most amazing studio guests. If you saw my post today, you would know that today in the studio, we have three amazing artists.
Yeah.
I say everyone's an artist. Matila, you're also an artist, mustn't
it? Yes, I'm a creative.
Yeah, you're a creative. We've got Matila in the studio with us, an amazing, extraordinary woman who is not only an artist, but also an interior decorator, a businesswoman. If you don't know who I'm talking about, just go to her Instagram handle. It's at Matsila Moshokowa.
Moshokwa.
Sorry. And then we've got another brother from Pretoria here, from Soshanguve. He's actually from my hood.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Your hood?
Kodiele. Setamoraho Mashilo. But I know him as Mesh.
Oh.
What's up, Mesh?
Good on you.
What's up, Mesh? You know I'm the original Mesh, ne? We've spoken about this.
I mean, it's,
I'm the first
it's
Mesh. I'm Mesh one.
Well, you know.
From what year were you Mesh? What year?
No, I've been copywriting that name. Since,
okay, just tell me from what year. What year were you even born?
No, the Mashilo clan comes from like way back, you know, so.
We're talking about the Mesh name here. The Mesh part of, not the Mashilo.
No, but he's clever. He's bringing back like
ancestry. You know
what I'm saying?
Like, come on. Like,
yes. What? You can't compete with ancestors. Like, I mean, seriously.
They were not Mesh. They were Mashilo. And then, of course, celebrated, the amazing great friend of mine, Nelson Magamo. How are you, my man?
I'm all right.
It's good to see you. You know, Nelson and I drive like similar cars.
Oh, yeah. Damn, Nelson.
So, like,
damn.
We're not only like petty guys doing our thing, but we also, you know, we like our
you like your nice BMWs, cars.
You know what I mean?
Nelson, they just put you on blast there.
Everybody knows. Don't, put it on Insta.
No, he doesn't.
Like the ladies know.
No, I follow Nelson. Car? No, I've never seen it.
I've only seen it today for the first time. Oh, you only noticed the art.
I only see the art.
Brother notices the PM. It's like, oh, okay, I see that $2 there.
Yeah, you are the tastemakers.
Yes.
I must say, I'm going to go back to you, ladies first. Ne, Matsela, I saw you the other day on a TV show, right? You were talking to Pilani.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was on the home channel. What's the name of the show? Design for You.
Yes, that's the one.
And you had like designed these amazing rooms for these kids, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, I was sitting there going, you know, one day when I make it, when I know I've made it in this world, I will call you to come and interior decorate my children's rooms along with the whole house. But what you did on that was just absolutely amazing. Is that your forte, being an interior decorator?
Yes, that's my base. That's home base.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, that's what I've been doing for the past 9 years.
Now, you recently opened a store, am I correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
What's the name of the store?
It's called Diaro Living. So okay. The company name is Diaro Living. That's been the interior decorating company for a while. And then the lifestyle concept store is still Diaro Living, and it's in Linden.
Why Diaro?
Diaro was, when I was in high school, I knew I wanted to become a fashion designer.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I wanted a name that was like authentically African, but didn't sound African, because it was the time of like stone sherries.
Oh,
and
yes,
stuff.
Yes.
And I took the word Diabaro.
Oh, okay.
Sotho.
Yes.
Sotho for clothing.
No, it's clothes. Candice came closer, so she doesn't know all this.
Oh, whatever.
We'll let you
hear. But she's safe. I've worked on her. She's okay now. She's better.
Yeah, and I thought Diaparo was too African sounding, yes. So I took out the P and the A, and it became Diaro. It sounded right. Spanish.
It does so sound Spanish.
I like that.
No, so it sounds very good.
That's how Diaro.
But it's African.
But it's Diaro.
The roots.
Yeah. Diaparo.
And of course, you also manage these fine young men here.
Yes.
Who else do you manage?
So these brands that I have managed in the past, mm-hmm. one of them was Lady Gana, Candice Norbert.
Yes, that's where
she
we
was
met.
A beautiful model for one of our photo shoots.
She was actually.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite pictures. You're going to try and throw shade, but you couldn't.
I couldn't.
We held chickens.
I couldn't. You held it down, man. You held it down.
So then, yeah, that's when I realized, geez, I'm actually good at, you know, managing brands, building consultancy and stuff. Let me also add another wing to the business. Mm-hmm. And that's where I met Nelson. Mm-hmm. And Nelson and I connected on, like, the fact that we're from Limpopo.
Oh, first. Okay.
And then
where are you from in Limpopo?
Bochum.
Bochum. Yeah. You know when you have a name like Bochum, I don't even know how to spell that name. Bochum. You know you are from Limpopo.
Yeah.
Yes, so then I met Nelson, and then we started chatting, and Nelson wanted assistance with a few things in the branding side of things and like creative solutions, and I was like, I can help, and that's where it started. So then I've been managing Nelson and Nelson's like business side of things for the past 2 years.
Awesome.
And then Setlamarago came as his name probably. Yeah. It just came shortly after, and I think it's been like 2 months that I've known you, or a month, yeah. And I'm doing the same for him as well.
All right.
Oh, wow.
Now, are any of their pieces available at Diaro Living?
No.
Oh, okay.
So it's separate.
So artwork is very tricky. You don't just sell artwork from anywhere. Just because it's a retail or a mm-hmm. space, that mm-hmm. means you can sell it. Artwork, you don't just sell artwork in retail spaces. So artwork needs to be curated, and it needs to be in a gallery or a curated gallery space. Mm. And that's where you sell artwork. It's not so accessible. It's not supposed to be.
Why not though? In this day and age.
I think it's accessible in this day and age. It's accessible on social media, so on platforms that we can actually just visually appreciate it.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the trade of art, it has to be in controlled environments, and because of the value of art and how it all goes back to maintaining the value and keeping it in a certain corner that is exclusive, that helps it appreciate, because anybody can draw or anybody can make a beautiful artwork. But what makes it, you know, sellable
not
and marketable?
Draw like Nelson.
Well,
camera.
Well, yes. Yeah. And what makes it special? It has to be housed in the industry and the realms of art and how you handle it. It's quite sensitive.
Do you think that in this day and age, especially when we look at a market like South Africa, you have emerging economic powerhouses when it comes to young people who are doing very, very well. Mm-hmm. And art is a great way to invest.
Absolutely.
it's our responsibility to educate those people and maybe make it a little bit more for the time being accessible to people like that.
Art is actually very accessible on the other hand. So it's just people are intimidated by the industry. And part of it is, you know, art being in art galleries, people don't think that you can walk into an art gallery. Art galleries are free. So all you need to do is just look at the best art galleries in South Africa and look at what collections or artists they actually represent. And then go in there and start acquainting yourself with art. They opened just like retail, you know, hours. And there's curators on site that you can actually talk to that can take you through each artist that they actually house. And then you can go ahead and buy and purchase a piece of art that you like that compels you. So it's I think that the industry has a stigma of like, you know, it's kind of inaccessible. It's all the way out there. And in South Africa, more so than I think I've walked through the streets of Chelsea and Mayfair in London. It's very intimidating to walk into those spaces. But South Africa is still actually quite friendly. It's actually friendlier. So go to a gallery and, you know, walk about, ask questions, and acquaint yourself with artists, and then that's the first point of call.
And I just want to find out one thing. What goes into the pricing of art? So how do you look at a piece and say this is the value of this particular piece?
So we're not the ones that set the prices. So the artists don't set the prices. It's the market that sets the prices. So let's say, for example, we'll take Nelson or Slamarago, and a gallery earmarks them as like the next best thing, or critics, art critics, and they take one of their artworks, they put it in a gallery, and it fetches for whatever they decide is worth. But also quality and the style, and there's a lot of texture that comes into one artist, and story behind the artist as well, the inspiration, where they come from, all of that gives the artwork the weight, the gravitas. And then they set the prices. And then another place that prices are actually help take the prices up are auctions. So let's say, for example, Dumisha and Candace, you decide to buy a Slamarago or a Nelson. And you bought it this year, 2017, and you decide to sell it 2 years from now, 2019. You put it in an art auction, and whatever price it fetches for, that's the new market price.
Oh, wow.
So it's like I said, the industry is very volatile and fickle and sensitive, and but you have to do your research.
It sounds like
before.
An artist. Yeah. Oh, no, and it's fickle and sensitive.
But remember, I think the biggest thing about art is that artists are the only creatives that actually document history.
Yes.
Wow.
In a visual form. So if you live in this era, we will remember the Nelsons of this world. And we live hundred years from now, it will be different artists. Yeah. But we will always remember the era of the Nelsons and the Slamaragos.
Actually, I want to ask you, Slamarago, I mean, what inspired you to become an artist, and what kind of art do you do? People know you for being a sculptor, but you're also a painter, am I correct?
Not so much a painter, but I do printmaking and drawings. I'm primarily a sculptor. And how I started was, you know, I've got a design background. I went to design school, and that just didn't sit right with me. And eventually, because
why did you feel like you were selling out?
I just hate sitting in front of a computer all day and, you know, studying at all these things. Whereas I could have a physical manifestation of my creative thoughts. You know?
Okay.
So hence I went into sculpture.
So like as a young boy, did you imagine that one day you'd be doing this? Were you already like making stuff out of clay?
Well, you know, just to backtrack a little bit, the LS Oshanguve, it's, you know, my parents were scholars there, and I was born there. But home, you know, I always reference Limpopo because I spent a lot of time on my grandparents' farm.
Okay.
And a lot of the references in my work and all the inspiration comes from my grandparents, you know, that atmosphere. You know?
Dope.
Yeah, so I've got a lot, you know, all my work until I think to date is mostly influenced by being within that space in Limpopo.
Yeah.
And how did you discover you had this talent? You know, like, was it a moment? Some people say they just knew, they started drawing.
Not necessarily. I don't usually blow my own horn, but
blow it away.
You know, but people always took a liking from a young age of anything I used to do creatively. And I suppose you never, until you're exposed to to the world of art and making art, you never really consciously think, this is what I could be doing for a living, you know. Mm. So you, I suppose inherently it's within you, but I suppose the, and then the more you grow up, the more you find a way to, you know, to make it into a career and really formalize it, you know, and become a daily thing that you do.
Mm.
But you know, for me, the first time I saw your work, Nelson, was on Instagram. I didn't know you until I just bumped into some of your work on Instagram, and I was immediately blown away. I was just like, the images that were conjured up there, the images of Africa were so fresh, were so vibrant, were so amazing, were so interesting, were so me. What was your inspiration for that?
Being an African.
Yeah.
You know what? I think it's because, I mean, when different generation get inspired by different things as well. With our generation, I think one thing that I would even say that is a highlight is like the introduction of internet.
Oh, yes.
And then with that, we were able to sort of connect with the world. But if you were to sort of Google Africa and you look at how the rest of the world have always looked at Africa, there's never like images that you look at and you feel so proud. But as an artist, you always feel like, you know, you are the reflection of who you come from. Mm. And I think more than anything else, I felt so strongly to say, you know, I grew up, you know, with people who were so inspired by music, movies and all of that. So we had like a certain language that we use that I felt that I can just sort of transform that language into visuals. And only to find that when you transform that into visuals, like there's a lot of people that you actually connect with that as well. Mm. So it sort of shows in terms of the connection that we have with the rest of the world. So basically it was me saying that we are, as you know, one can just look at it as the same as America, as the same as the US, as the same as Britain as well.
I love your story though, because what you've done is you basically said that with what you just said now, that we should stop looking at ourselves as Africans as if that is something that should stop us, but rather as Africans as that is something that should help us conquer the world.
Yep. Mm.
But you didn't start out with an ambition of being an artist. There was a time when you were about to become an engineer of sorts, a chemical engineer, I believe, was it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, I mean, I was born in the 80s. Usually, especially with our parents, they will try to sort of try to secure a better future, as one would say. And art was never like something that I would look at it as I would make a living out of it. You know, even though it has always been part of me. But like any other child, it's like, you know, late 80s we had options, like, you know, when you, especially when you started high school, late 90s, so you had an option to study anything, but fine art was never like it was never actually put as an option. But engineering and other things were there, and for me, as someone that in high school I was specializing in math, science, biology and geography, and I just had this strong connection that I wanted to do engineering. But even though like I knew it, like, you know, there was something beyond that I actually had, and which was the mark making. You know, drawing has always been part of me.
Yeah.
But it was like a question of growing up, you know, decision that, like, you know, you have limited options, and you get to a point where now you have to choose to say, I have to decide where I'm actually taking the direction of my life.
But when your direction and you decide, okay, this is what I'm going to do with my life, you went over to Italy. Tell us a bit about that stint there. What were you doing? Who were you working with?
My trip to Italy was with the Armani Foundation.
Giorgio Armani.
Giorgio Armani, yes.
Yes, not just any Armani.
Just not Armani.
Giorgio Armani.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like they were looking for designers, actually they were not looking for an artist, and I just so happened to submit my portfolio and I was selected instead. So it was a residency for designers, but I end up actually just there producing body of work. I was advised to produce a body of work towards an exhibition. So my residency was, for that period, I produced a body of work on which I think 90% of it was bought by the Giorgio Armani Foundation.
Wow. Mm.
So that was like my first international experience.
Wow. And social media has played quite a role in, you know, your notoriety and how people have come to know your work. So do you think that you would have been as big a name right now if social media, like Instagram, for example, because I also came across you on Instagram, if that wasn't a factor? Do you think it would have taken just a bit more time?
I think so. Because when you look at like how the history of art is in general, it was, that is why I think till this day it's such a snobbish industry. It was only for a certain selected individuals, and they would also try by all means to build walls around it so that others shouldn't actually have access.
Yeah.
And then in one simple term, one can easily say that in going to a point where it was only for a certain elite or wealthy individuals. Yes. And only to find that now, because of the introduction of Instagram, and actually I started sharing my work on MySpace.
Oh,
this is actually
wow, first, like, throwback.
Yeah, throwback.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yes. So,
I've never even been on MySpace.
I was a MySpace kid upon a time.
So I think I still have an account on MySpace.
Wow.
So that's as far as, like, that's just how I actually took advantage of the internet, I guess. And I mean, I don't think at that time one could have ever imagined that one day you wake up, you know, it would just connect you with, you know, millions and millions of individuals as well. So I think that's also that. It was that change was about to come in the art world. And I think it was such a fortunate that, you know, today when you look at the art world, especially in South Africa, is that, you know, there's a lot of people who are starting to celebrate that as well, which is an encouragement for actually up and coming art. Because it's not even a question of like, you need me to come and actually testify that for you. You know, you have your whole entire world in the palm of your hands.
Yes.
So all you need to do is to say, like, if you want to be an artist, because that's the thing, like, if someone were to ask me right now to say, how do I become an artist, pretty much I'll laugh at you, because the information is right there in your hands. Like, you don't need someone like me to actually stand in front of you to tell you that it's actually possible. There's a whole lot of individuals out there who are actually just there as a proof to you that it is possible in this time and age. Actually, with anyone who has a talent in this time and age, you know, you don't need...
There's an internet. You can literally become your own publicist, your own business manager, everything with the internet now.
I just like to ask, and I want you guys to, like, not hold back, ne? Mesh, I'm going to start with you, because I know you've exhibited, like, in some of the most amazing places in the world, okay? I'm going to call out, like, I guess two cities, and then you're going to, like, take it from there, okay? Okay. I'm just going to say right now, Miami, I'm going to say Hong Kong, and then, like, I'm going to give you, like, okay, you say another couple of cities that you've been to. Those are the ones I can start with that you've been to with your work.
Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Shanghai.
Yeah.
I could go on.
You're like, I'm international, baby.
Tell the people, you know, like, there was New York,
you know, Tokyo.
Tokyo.
You know.
So you're an international player.
The thing is, I when I started my art career, I was not able to show enough in South Africa because the galleries just wouldn't have me, you know? For whatever reasons. So, I mean, I took it upon myself to say, well, I'm not just going to sit with all this work and wait until somebody, you know, takes a liking to it or you know, accepts to show it, you know? So, I endeavor to, you know, go into these other spaces, because this is, I mean, we are talking about the art world, you know, the art world is not just South Africa, you know?
It's international.
You know, it's such a bigger market, and all these other, you know, spaces that we, alternative spaces, it doesn't even have to be the galleries, you know? And that's why I made the effort to just, you know, take the work out there, because the funny thing is when people that are not familiar, you know, because especially sculpturally, I use, you know, our everyday mundane objects that, you know, people, you know, we take for granted, you know, as Africans, you know, almost. So when people that are not familiar with our societies and you know, and all these, you know, songs and images and objects that we, you know, encounter on a daily basis, when they see that, you know, and that's what, you know, makes, gives the, you know, the art life, you know, because they are not from these spaces, you know, and that's when the educational aspect comes in, you know. So I was like, well, the audience has to be different, perhaps, in order for me to have a career in the arts.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look, I mean, we like running out of time, and I could talk to you guys for another 2 hours.
Actually, I think you guys should come back. We should have a part two. Part two.
Hear less about your relationship, you know, adventure. But what I wanted to ask is, you know, Matsila, Nelson's also, like, you know, internationally, he's massive. He's probably more well known in places like France, Germany, the UK than he is here. Right? Yeah. We're only getting to know him now.
That's true.
How important is that for African artists to travel first and then be celebrated in their own country? I mean, the saying is, you know, a prophet is never celebrated in their own hometown.
Well, it's funny with Nelson and Slamrao being here, because Nelson is celebrated more at home than he is overseas. Okay. It's only now that it's kind of, we're getting the backlash of, because he's gone overseas, then there's even a bigger hype around him. Mm. Whereas Slamrao went overseas first, and there was so much hype, and all his shows sold out, or everything sold out when he went. Mm. And then coming back, not a lot of people know about him. So there's no formula.
Mm.
But I think the value of being recognized and appreciated at home is probably the biggest thing for the artists. Mm. Because
it is, right? You want to be appreciated.
You want people to understand the story that you're trying to tell, because it's our story.
Yeah. Mm.
And then when we go outside and sell it, and then, you know, it's even bigger.
Yeah.
So there is no formula. But obviously, yes, just like with everything, if a local fashion designer makes it overseas, we start wanting to wear the stuff more.
But I mean, like Nelson, it does let South Africans, especially, you know, I'm going to say it like it is, black South Africans with money, take you more seriously as an artist when you say, this is the price of my work.
Mm.
And you, because you know how sometimes we can look down on each other, like, when I'm a drawer, I'm a big somebody CEO. At a corporate, you know, I'm the head of finance, so why must I buy this for $500,000?
Yeah.
Actually, it's quite interesting because, you know, like the example in terms of like the CEOs, and I think now because of my audience at first, they were like, you know, white communities, you know, and now when you look at the corporate, you know, especially with senior positions that you have like multiple now, it's no longer like just only white who are actually occupying that.
Mm.
What they did is that the conversation started in terms of obviously lifestyle outside, you know, workspace. What are you collecting? And that is exactly one thing that has actually also grown the art world, is that you can start sharing with me what you like and what you have in your collection and what you value in that collection.
Yeah.
Outside the money part of it, you're like, you know, in my house, if my house were to burn down, these are the things that I'll actually take out. Yeah. And what that does, that is that it's actually making the person next to you who's actually looking onto you to say, I should actually start considering actually investing in art as well.
Yeah.
So now coming back to that is that it's actually funny now that, you know, in the beginning when my work was cheaper, there were not a lot of people who wanted to buy it.
Yes,
but now that my work has reached a certain level, there's more black people who actually want to come and buy the work as well.
Mm. So we value the price. If you put a good price on it, we're willing to pay.
Yeah.
If you're like, I'll give it out for free, they're like, we don't want it. Yeah. Even if it's free, we don't want it.
But I also think like the international thing helps. I mean, if whatever you do in the art world, in the art space, whether you're a painter, you're a sculptor,
a designer,
you're a singer, you're a designer, you're an actor, until you've made it overseas, it's like you cannot demand certain
prices.
You're
almost undervalued.
Yes, that's right. Mm. Well, guys, we've come to that part now where it's like
a sad goodbye.
But if we wanted to see your works, where can we go and view them?
At the moment, Nelson is at Everard Reed.
Okay.
And
that's in Rosebank, right?
That's in Rosebank.
Okay.
And Slamrao is still to be confirmed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. And of course, your store.
And the store is the store is in Linden. Linden, Johannesburg.
Oh, yeah.
Man, and people can just walk in.
You can just walk. It's street side. There's restaurants. Okay. Linden is a new shopping district. It's the new high
street. I know. They've got the best restaurants as well. Yeah, so please go check it out, guys. Do not sleep on these great artists.
I'm like really
artists.
Impressed. I hope that you guys just go from glory to glory, you know, and keep going. You inspire me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you inspire a lot of people out there. Nelson, you know, kids look up to you, man. There are a lot of not only artists, but like I think even people who are in the sciences, the other professions look up to you. What's next? What's the next big move?
I've got a solo show at 154. It's the International African Contemporary Art Fair in London. That is what I'm currently busy with.
Hmm. From the 3rd to the 8th of October.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Dope.
And 154 is a huge African contemporary festival, art fair.
Awesome. So if you know, if you're in London, pop in, you know. I'll see you there. Mesh, Wena, what's that like?
The Strand Gallery in London.
The Strand is in London.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Okay.
This October, I think from the 10th
from the 10th.
Guys, get to London.
Let's just hang out in London.
But it's worth it. We'll warm it up. We'll warm it up with African flavor. Thank you guys for inspiring us. Bye, guys. Be kind to yourself and each other.
And we'll see you next week for the weekly mashup.
This is CliffCentral.com.